stand as we sing our first hymn this morning, number 3, Come Thou Almighty King, verses 1, 2, and 4. Service with lunch and childcare provided.
And I think Linda has an announcement that she would like to share with us.
We just want to thank all of you for coming and taking part, whether you were there last night, you helped out in preparation for it. As we say, many hands make light work, and that certainly was the case. So thank you to all your support in so many different ways. Our first total is $1,102. So we have some more to collect and a few more items to deliver. So we're very thankful for that. And that, of course, is shared between the general fund and also the mission opportunities for the Board of Outreach. So, also, afterwards, we have some wonderful leftover, you know, they won my favorites, leftover twice-baked potatoes and homemade chicken rice vegetables. So if you want to join us, and you can come to the counter, it's only $5 each, or, and we do take IOUs. Thank you.
At this time, let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship as we listen to the prayer.
Would you like to sing this morning?
260.
260.
cross.
Seeking and of our striving toward oneness with one another and with you. Help us in this hour of worship to bury ancient quarrels, to be purged of all envy or resentment, and to reach some concrete resolve toward becoming more useful, more resourceful members of our Lord's body, of his ecumenical church. We pray in the name of him who keeps praying that they may all be one, so that the world may believe. Amen. Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
Bible reading is Psalm 98, which is found on page 480 in your pew Bible. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him victory. The Lord has made known his victory. He has revealed his vindication in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and with the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing together for joy at the presence of the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the people with equity. May God bless the reading of his word.
Forward at this time to receive this morning's offering. So we bring our gifts that they may be used in your service
We offer them up in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you.
that they would be used wisely in your name. Amen. Reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. If you would like to follow along in your pew Bible, you will find it on page 878. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. Friends come in all shapes and sizes. They come in all ages, from youth to old age. When we are children, friends are based on our interests. We may play princess together or share a love of matchbox cars. We may love the same Wii games or play on the same baseball team. When we make it to puberty, things change. Suddenly, our friendships revolve around the object of our desire, male or female. Our friends are the people we share our hopes and dreams with, who share our latest crush with, or even those we gossip with. Our best friend may be a sister or a brother, a school friend, or a best friend from church. When we become adults, it often becomes harder to develop friendships. We are consumed by the day-to-day demands of our busy lives, jobs, children, spouses, and all the responsibilities we bear limit the amount of time we can spend pursuing friendships. Once the children are all gone, once we've retired, we look around and we hope that some of the friends we had when we were younger may still be around. That's the way life was for most everyone for generations. Then along came Facebook. Facebook, the electronic substitute for having real face-to-face friends. Now you can boot up your computer, log on to your Facebook account, and confirm, or politely ignore, thousands upon thousands of people you may have known in the past, or not at all. You can play games with your friends. You can collect friends the way some people collect tchotchkes like porcelain frogs. Come, see my frogs. I have 3,473 of them at last count. Unfortunately, or fortunately, Facebook friends are limited to 5,000, but you can have unlimited followers. But no one can really have 5,000 friends. We all know we are lucky if we can count our true friends on one hand. In the last days of his earthly ministry, Jesus knew that his friends were going to need some true friends to face the future. One true friend in particular, him. Jesus was acutely aware that treacherous days were ahead, days when he wouldn't be around, and his disciples' lives depended on having friends that they could trust without question. And they were going to have to go forward in his absence. They were going to be left to make some sense out of his death on the cross and the stunning reality of the resurrection. Without friends to help understand Jesus here and then, and Jesus not here, Jesus alive and Jesus on a cross, the disciples and the faith couldn't move forward. In this section of Jesus' final discourse, he assured his disciples that he was their friend. They were not subservient to him. They were all equals, as friends are equals. The knowledge of that friendship could and would unite most of them to strengthen and sustain them for the days, months, years, and millennia to come. This passage from John is from Jesus' final discourse. Now you may ask, what is that? It was what we would call today Jesus' last will and testament. A final discourse was common in Jesus' time. A great person would gather his or her family, friends, and successors to their chamber prior to death. They would then give them their final instructions, blessings, or even prophecies. It was an opportunity to review their life, their failure, their successors, what they were proud of, and what they regretted. Once this was done, they would offer those gathered a final blessing and then depart, usually through their death. So who gathered for Jesus' final discourse? Jesus gathered together his followers. We really don't know how many or who all of them were, in spite of images we have like Da Vinci's Last Supper. We do know that this group did not include rabbis, Pharisees, or other learned people. To this group of fishermen and peasants, he imparted the following: that they were interrelated with one another and with him, and therefore with God. That each was answerable and accountable to the other. He told them that their victory was here, not in the future. He told them that God dwells in them, guiding them and showing them the way. Jesus urged them to envision the future together in community. And what was to define their community? They should abide in God's love. They should keep God's commandments as given to Moses. They should live by the great commandment to love one another. If they were to abide in God's love and love one another, they will then fulfill all 10 commandments. Because if they love God and love one another, they won't murder, they won't commit adultery, steal, lie, covet, or worship any other god. If they abide in love, abide in God, they will abide in and with one another in joy. And they will abide in what kind of love? Well, we talk about love all the time in our culture. We talk about how we love our car, our iPad, our Xbox 360. We love sushi, spaghetti, coffee, pizza, or whatever food we prefer to indulge in. Love, as expressed in this scripture, is far deeper, far more complex. In Greek, there are three common words for love: eros, philios, and agape. Eros is sexual love. It's that which draws us to the object of our desire. It is self-fulfilling love. Philios is friendship, sharing as equals with one another. And agape is love given unconditionally with no hope of anything in return. And in this passage, Jesus uses philios, friendship, and agape, love, in a form of wordplay. He says, you are my philios, my friends, who are called to agape, to unconditional love. Now that we know what kind of love, but who is in this community? Who chooses us to be part of this community striving for agape? God chooses. We respond. God appointed the disciples. They accepted the task. God has appointed us. We accepted the task. And once chosen, our task is to bear fruit. Not just any fruit, fruit that will last, the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus, in his last night with his disciples, gave them the instructions that they would need to guide the Christian community into its very uncertain future. He taught them how to go from Jesus physically with us to Jesus not with us. The disciples, all his disciples throughout history, are to remain rooted in God, to abide in him, and he in like manner will abide in them. He urged all his disciples to get beyond eros, to get beyond philios, to strive to get to agape. By striving for agape, Jesus' disciples could move forward joyfully to a community grounded in love, abiding in the love of the Father. Facebook users may have collected thousands of friends, but we know we ultimately need only one, Jesus. And our joy will be complete. Amen. Our prayer hymn this morning is number 507, Rock of Ages Cleft for Me. If you have a prayer request, please jot it down on the cards in the pew in front of you. Pass them to the end of the aisle where they will be collected. And please remain seated as we sing. We will sing verses 1 and 2. This morning for young adults with mental health issues, for safe travels for all who are traveling. Phyllis asked for prayers for her sister Barbara, and prayers for Bev and Ron. Bev has made significant improvement, although she still has a long way to go. She's out of intensive care and in a regular room at Mid-State Medical Center. So we rejoice in healing that has come, and we pray for continued healing and strength. Let us pray. Lord, as we gather as community, we ask that we would bear your words in mind and in heart, that we would love one another as you have loved us, as you poured yourself out for us, that we might pour ourselves out for others, that we might look upon our sisters and brothers with love and compassion, that we would extend to them the same love and mercy that we have been shown by Christ our Lord. On this day, when we remember God's commandment that we love one another, we ask that you would stir our hearts again, not with eros, not with philios, but with agape, with love that is given with no expectation of anything in return. And on this day, Lord, we remember those we have mentioned by name. We remember those who are ill and ask that you would draw near to them, that you would bless them, that you would heal them. For healings that have already been granted, we thank you. We praise your name for prayers answered. For those who struggle with health or mental health issues, we ask for healing. We ask for successful treatment. For those who are traveling, Lord, we ask for travel mercies. We ask that joy would be found in your creation. That if we travel to visit loved ones, that those days would be filled with joy, and that you would bring us home safely once again to reunite with our church family. Lord, on this day, we remember those who serve in our armed forces. We remember those who have sacrificed so much to serve in the name of freedom. We ask that you would bless them. We ask that they would know of our prayers and our love, that they are united in this community of love with us. We ask that you would give them rest, discernment, and courage to face each day. And we pray, Lord, for an end to all wars, so that all might come home to be reunited with friends and loved ones. And for those who come home wounded in body or spirit, we ask a special blessing, Lord. We ask that you would send the great physician to touch and to heal, to walk with them and their loved ones on journeys of restoration and rehabilitation. We ask that you might be present with them in that difficult journey. Lord, as we gather around this table, as you gathered with your disciples, we pray for a spirit of love and unity. For we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, who came, that we might be united as one. All this we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Please remain seated as we sing hymn number 3 of number 507, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me.
Thank you.
broke it and gave it to his disciples. Let us return thanks. Lord, for this meal and the hands that have prepared it, we thank you. For all that it represents in love and community, down through the centuries, we are grateful. Now as we dine with our Lord, may it strengthen us for the days to come, that we might act in his name. Amen. In this church, we do not practice closed communion. We do not say that only members can partake. We invite all who know and love the Lord to come and dine at this table. The only requirement is that you seek to walk with him and seek a deep relationship with him as your Lord and Savior. Jesus took bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples. Broken for you. Eat of it, each one. In like manner, Jesus took the cup. my blood. As often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, do so in remembrance of me until I come again. Drink each one. After they had sung a hymn, they went out, Jesus to the Mount of Olives and his death. Shall we stand as we join together in singing verses 1 and 4 of Blessed Be the Tide of Olives?